What place do politics have in planning? To some, planning is purely an apolitical practice where planning ideals reign supreme, while to others, the messiness of the political process gives necessary backing to planning programs and gives otherwise powerless planners the ability to implement them. In today's episode, we examine planning and politics and discuss how you can navigate this challenging landscape. I'm Alex Huffman, and this is City Planning Matters. In today's episode, I want to talk about something that I don't think is discussed enough in the planning profession, and that is planning and politics. And more specifically, the question that I want to discuss today, and I think that would be very enlightening for a lot of different people, is whether or not planning is political. And more specifically, as planners, are we supposed to be political in our profession or not? And as I mentioned in the intro, you know, when I first started out in planning, one of the major reasons why I got into planning is because honestly, I wasn't really interested in politics. I think that politics made me want to get into planning, mainly because I thought that I could have, you know, this tremendous impact on the community in which I lived, and that, you know, through enough hard work that I could have that positive influence. And so when I got into the profession, I think the more I had experiences, the more I found out how political the process truly is. And so today, what I want to talk about is, you know, whether or not planning is political, and as planners, should we be political? And to me, the answer to that question lies in how you view yourself and your role in the planning organization for which you work. I think it's different, you know, if you work for a public agency versus working for a private firm. I think it makes a difference how your organization does or does not value planning. And then I think the third thing is that we'll discuss here in a little bit is, you know, does your community value planning? And I think that changes as well. And so where I want to start this conversation is that, and this is probably something that if you went to planning school for, you probably went into a coma listening to, and that is planning theory. And so, you know, just as a quick refresher for people who maybe did fall asleep during that discussion, or maybe for people who aren't or didn't go to planning school, you know, there's these different theories about planning and more specifically the role of planning as a profession. And I don't really want to get into the different types of planning theory, but just to give you an idea of how diverse and divergent some of these different theories are. And so just to highlight some of the different planning theories that exist, there's participatory planning, which really focuses on bringing together different interest groups and come up with a consensus. Another type that exists is incrementalism. And so, you know, taking small bites at the apple over time, and that these increments together bring about change. Another type of planning that exists is advocacy planning. And advocacy planning is, you know, maybe you're working with specific interest groups and looking to bring their issues and concerns to the forefront. And then, you know, one other one just to highlight would be radical planning. So that's, you know, what it exactly sounds like, where through radical planning, you're really looking to make significant changes all at once in one fell swoop. And so, you know, I bring those different examples up is because, you know, even within the planning profession, I think that there's different viewpoints of what the role of planning is and is not. And so when there's discussion about whether or not planning is political. From my perspective, planning in and of itself is not political. I think that even if you're working for different interest groups, maybe your viewpoint is a little bit skewed because you work for or work with a particular organization. But I think that a good planner or good planning practice uses data to support their recommendations and don't rely on opinions or theories to support their decisions. One of the great things I think that's really happened more recently in the planning profession is the vast abundance of data that's now available. I think that for a long time, one of the challenges that we had in the planning profession was that we were not able to justify or substantiate a lot of our perspectives because there wasn't things to support that position that people would be able to read or look at a figure and say, okay, yes, the data definitely points in that direction. But now we do have that advantage. And, you know, just one thing that, you know, just as a very tangible example, if you're having difficulty conceptualizing what I'm talking about, which is, you know, something that's very intangible in planning could be an example like walkability, right? So walkability is describing just what it sounds like, how walkable a particular area of your city or your community or your neighborhood is. And for a long time, planners would talk about how great walkability is. But there was real difficulty getting data to support that position, to talk about the benefits of walkability. Inherently, we knew that it was a good thing, but it was really hard to show the benefits of it. And now there's different tools and data that's available to us that can show the benefits of walkability in a very tangible way. We can look at something like a walk score from walkscore.com and see like, oh, you know, when we talk about walkability, it's because of the walking distance from a particular address to a business. We can also look at, you know, data that's readily available on home sales and talk about, okay, neighborhoods that have these certain development characteristics. Maybe they're shorter blocks, maybe they're smaller lots, maybe it's more multi-story development. They're selling for higher property values, more prices per, or higher price per square foot. You know, those are things that are very data-driven that I think regardless of what your particular theory as a planner you may ascribe to, if you have data and you're using data to support those decisions, I think that that is, in my perspective, you know, what a good planner does. And so to get into the discussion a little bit more about whether or not planning is political, I think that there's three different lenses that we need to look through that define the role of a planner. And so the three are, again, the personal perspective, what you ascribe to as a planner personally, then also the philosophy or the perspective of planning within the workplace. And then last, looking at what the perspective or the acceptance of planning is within your community. And so when we talk about this, what types of questions should you ask yourself when you're trying to think about what your own personal philosophy is? And to do that, I think it's really important to consider what you think your role as planner is, regardless of the organization that you currently work in or the city you work in, right? Because those things can change. You can change your organization. You can go to a different employer. You can go to a different city. But like, what is it to you as a planner that you see your role as? And so for me personally, I see the role of the planner as the change agent, right? We want to, regardless of what the issue is, cities change over time. And so from my perspective, I should be the one who is that agent of change to introduce new ideas, new topics, new policy that helps the city to adapt and change over time. And so I think one of the things that was really speaking to me, I had read this really interesting book that shockingly, you know, the APA had put out you know, decades ago. I think it was in the 1960s. It was called Mastering Change. And I say shockingly just because I think that traditionally the APA as an organization hasn't been as vocal as they should have been on different issues. And I think they're certainly changing that. You see them starting to talk a lot more about equity and race, and that's really important topics in planning. But for a long time, I don't think that they were really taking a strong stance on anything. I think they saw themselves a little bit more on the technical side of things and less on advocating for policy change. And so in this book, I thought it was just very poignant because I think that it was introducing this topic that, you know, planners need to be agents of change. And so one of the really interesting quotes that really stuck with me professionally and really helped me to think about like what my role is within my organization was this, that says that planners can fail because of circumstances beyond their control. But more often, planners fail because they're not good enough. And that really stuck with me just because, you know, for a long time in my, you know, different jobs I've had in many different cities, you know, planning wasn't something that was valued a lot. You know, I think it was sometimes convenient to bring planning into the conversation if it helped to support a particular perspective. But, you know, as a whole, you know, different organizations, and I think it's true across the United States, I don't think that planning is the forefront decision-making lens for cities. And it's really unfortunate. But I do think that a lot of it does fall on our responsibilities individually as planners. And that is, you know, if our message is not being received, is it because of our organization or the city that we work in, or is it because we're just not doing a good job? And it really makes you take a hard look at yourself and figure out, you know, am I talking past people? Am I not communicating effectively with the people who are in these key leadership positions or are elected officials because I can't communicate my ideas clearly? And, you know, for me personally, that was the challenge that I had, is that I have, you know, a lot of head knowledge or maybe a lot of theoretical knowledge, but then to practically put that on the ground and to be valuable to a city or for an elected official to make a different policy decision that I'm advocating for really relies on me being able to effectively communicate that as a planner. When I was thinking about what role I should have, the things that I thought were going to be really critical to me personally being successful was that I needed to be able to communicate my ideas clearly. I needed to be able to communicate and gain support from different elected officials or from people in key leadership positions. And so how do I craft my message in order to gain the support, to see the value in what I'm saying? And then last was really getting a good understanding of how to navigate politics. And by navigating politics, I just think what we're saying is that we're not trying to mislead someone or anything like that. I think that what you're trying to do is that an elected official is a very rational person. They have a certain perspective. They have certain values that they hold true to themselves that got them elected. And as planners, I think that we have a real opportunity to try to figure out how can we align with politicians where we have a similar interest, where, you know, maybe there are certain ideas that we can bring forward that would be really helpful to them. And so as a result, they're more likely to support you. And that's kind of how I see my role. And maybe you see your role in a different way because you're, you know, adhering to a different personal philosophy. But for me, as an agent of change, and that's the way that I see myself in my organization, that's the value that I think I can bring and the things that I needed to do in order to be effective. And so the second thing that I think is really to think about and consider when you think about what is the role of the planner is to look at your community. And so when I say, you know, your community, what I'm referring to is, you know, are the people who live within your community and where you work, do they, A, see the value in planning? Are they people who are engaged in the planning process, or is it pulling teeth whenever you have a community meeting? Do they understand planning issues? Do they instead value, you know, public safety above all things? And that's not a dig at a particular city or anything, but it's really recognizing the climate in which you're working. And so just to give, you know, different extremes of this situation, you'll have, you know, hyper engaged communities. When I think about hyper engaged communities, some examples that come to mind would be places like San Francisco, right? Or maybe it's Boulder, Colorado, who really, you know, focus on growth management quite a bit. You know, and then the opposite end of that spectrum would be complete apathy, where you can be doing really great things in your community, developing really great policies, but like nobody comes to your community meetings. And I think it's really important to think about that and to really understand what your community identity is as it relates to planning, because then I think it can help you craft your message. And so, again, to give an example, right, if you're in a community that really understands planning, then a lot of times what you're trying to do is you're trying to build consensus on like what a good policy outcome is, because they understand the issue of, for example, traffic congestion, or maybe your parking situation. They understand some of the issues that underlie the problem, but your role and responsibility is more of consensus building. The flip side of that could be a situation where maybe people are a little bit more apathetic and particularly don't care or don't participate. And so one of the roles of the planner then can be to educate. And that's where I see, you know, my role currently, which is that, you know, there isn't this groundswell of support for planning. And I think that a lot of that is because traditionally as a city, we didn't really engage in planning like we should, or at least for a long period of time. And so as we try to build interest and gain support for a lot of different planning initiatives, the role and responsibility that I see is that we need to be educating, and we need to educate both the public, and then we also need to be educating our organization and our elected officials. And so you can see that, you know, a different perspective is needed based on not only your personal philosophy, but also where you work. And it's really important for you in your career development to make sure that, at least from a long-term perspective, that you're in a place that values or at least agrees with your own personal philosophy, right? So you don't want to be an advocacy planner and then have an organization or be in a city that doesn't have any type of interest in planning, right? Because that's going to be a mismatch. You're not going to have a captive audience. You're not going to have an audience maybe to advocate on behalf of. You may, if you're an advocacy planner, want to be in a place where people are very much engaged in the process, because then it makes your role and responsibility a little bit more manageable as an advocate for people in the planning profession. And so, you know, I think, again, that's a long-term thing. I think it's really important that people get experience regardless of where they're at, and use that to develop what you think is your role long-term within the profession. It's not something that you identify and know what you want to do within the planning profession overnight. But as you start to develop those things, I think it's really important to see, you know, do my values personally, do they align with not only me personally, but also with the city that I'm working in? Do the people see the value in the things that I'm talking about? And then I think then, you know, the last one, the last lens that it's really important to view things through is then the political climate within your job. And when we're talking about politics, you know, I'm not just talking about politics in terms of elected officials, but also politics as an organization. And so does your organization that you work for value planning? And so, you know, just to give again an example of that is, what role does planning play in the workplace that you currently work for? Is planning more of an afterthought? Is planning really integral to that process and that decision making? You know, are you doing more, you know, what they call planning, that's more like zoning administration, you know, and you're just processing permits, which is a really essential function, of course, to the overall organization for a city. But, you know, truthfully, isn't planning. You're doing more of the current day-to-day processing of permits. Or, you know, the flip side to that is your organization involving planning at every step of the way because it's part of your, you know, day-to-day business where it's like, you know, yes, we could do the, you know, short-term fix, we could do the easy thing, but let's look at this longitudinally and bring planning into that and make sure that they're engaged and that they're really leading the process. And, you know, the truth is that that does happen in a lot of organizations, and it's not just big cities, it's small cities. It's people who see the value in what, you know, planning does. And so just to give you some different food for thought about, you know, questions that you should ask yourself when thinking about, you know, is planning a political process or not? And so I think, again, from my perspective, that planning in and of itself is not political, but in order to be effective, we must, you know, dip our toes a little bit into the political process. And so as planners, things that we can do is that we can, you know, learn to, you know, work behind the scenes. We don't always have to be out in the forefront, but we can, you know, be having conversations with people who we think will be receptive to our different ideas. We can be meeting with elected officials and talking to them about issues that we hear them say that are really important and offer, you know, some very poignant planning advice to help support them. I think that's something, you know, big that we can do. I think that we can try to get a better understanding of what our goals are as an organization and figure out, you know, how do the organizational goals tie into good planning practice? And so again, as an example, our city has a strategic plan that I highlighted some very important initiatives that we wanted to accomplish in the next, you know, few years. And so one of the first things that I did was I tried to think about, okay, what things that are currently listed on here, what do they align with that as a planning practice would be a very good policy outcome? And you use those different guiding documents and the things that are important to you as an organization to say, okay, I can use these different guiding principles to help not only accomplish the goals of the organization, but also to help me be effective in you know, my job. And then I think that, you know, one of the other things is that really helping policymakers achieve their goals and helping them to do that. So, you know, think about what is important to a certain, you know, representative, or maybe it's to your mayor, or maybe it's to your city manager. And, you know, outside of these organizational goals, like what are the things that are important to them or that they're passionate about? And again, how do they align themselves with your own personal goals? And again, it's not about you achieving success, because I think especially if you're a certified planner, you adhere to the code of ethics with the AICP. I think that really what our role is that we're trying to get these policy outcomes that are good for the community as a whole. So it's not about achieving things that like I want to achieve or things that you want to achieve. It's more about, you know, how can we find people who are passionate about the same things that we're passionate about or that are important to them or important to their district? And how do we get them aligned with good planning practice? And so always looking for those different opportunities. You know, I always encourage my staff or the people who I work with to be ready. You know, You know, if you're really passionate about equity, develop that equity policy, because, you know, over the summer when there was all those outcries for equity in the US, there were a lot of cities that were really quick to want to do something in their own community. And as planners, if we're not prepared, we can't seize those opportunities. And so, again, you know, part of this is not only about being strategic in terms of, you know, the way that we interact with elected officials, but also working with those around us that are in our sphere of influence to always be ready. And I think that's really, you know, to me, the last point to this is that, you know, if you're ready because you're always thinking about things and really trying to anticipate what the needs are going to be, that you have the greatest opportunity, because then you can let people who are in political power think that the idea that you've been working on for like the last several months or the last year because you're passionate about it was theirs all along. You know, oh, we want to have an equity policy. Well, I've been working on an equity policy for the last 6 months. Here it is. And then, you know, it can go through the public hearing process and it can be adopted and they can take the credit for it. And that's great, because at the end of the day, you have helped the city to become a lot better, become, you know, much more the ideal that we want to see it, that's good for the community as a whole. And so, you know, just to wrap up this discussion, I think that, you know, the question that we want to end with is planning political? Well, to answer that, no. But in order to get things done, we must navigate the political process in order to bring about change for the greater good. Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you're enjoying the content, don't forget to subscribe wherever you listen and rate the podcast so we can continue to improve the content of each episode for our listeners. I'm Alex Huffman, and this is Planning Matters.